Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I want to explain the reasons why early 2024 will bring about the second phase of the bear market that started at the end of 2021, and also bring about the start of the official recession. And boy, do we have a lofty level of the economy to plunge from. The Atlanta Fed's GDP Now model has GDP growth for Q3 increasing by 5.4% at an annualized rate. In spite of this lofty estimate, there are many reasons to believe that rate of growth is set to plunge starting very shortly, I would say imminently, like as in Q4, but definitely by Q1 of 24. One of the reasons why GDP growth is going to tumble is the real estate market, which accounts for nearly 20% of GDP, and that's not if you're counting home equity extractions, which are dead, and the wealth effect, or the reverse wealth effect as we have today. The housing transaction market has been and continues to be broken. It is frozen in a depression that is worsening. Mortgage rates last week rose for the sixth week in a row, causing demand for home loans, both refis and purchase applications, to drop to the lowest level since 1995. That's right. I didn't stutter. The mortgage market is at the same level today as it was in 1995. Home builders' sentiment dropped 4 points to 40 in October. Any reading below 50 is considered negative, recessionary for home builders. Builders have reported lower levels of buyer traffic as some buyers, particularly younger ones, are priced out of the market because of higher interest rates, said Alicia Huey, the National Association of Home Builders chairman. Of the index three components, current sales conditions fell 4 points to 46. Sales expectations in this next 6 months period dropped 5 points to 44. And traffic from buyers dropped 4 points to 26. Remember, 50 is the expansion contraction line. Yes, it's a depression. Another reason for the economic air pocket to arrive is the reverse wealth effect from a two-year drubbing in the typical 60-40 bond and stock portfolio, which should begin to negatively impact consumption in a significant manner. For those keeping score, the S&P is down over 10%. The Russell is down, Russell 2000, down 30%. And long-term treasury bonds have lost 45% of their value since the end of 2021. It's been a bear market, and the bear market bounce is over. Once the slowdown in the economy arrives and the labor market begins to crack, expect the real estate market, meaning the price of homes, not just the transaction volume, the price of homes to suffer much the same fate as what the transaction market is seeing. That's not good news. That's going to add to the debacle in bonds and stocks. And then you join real estate, there's going to be a massive reverse wealth effect. And that's going to really pinch consumption. The volatility in the U.S. sovereign bond market should increase violently in early 2024. And I mentioned this last week, but let me just refresh the memory. This is because the bank's money that is parked in the reverse repo facility will run dry at that time and cause liquidity for bond purchases to evaporate. We will also at the same time see the full lagged effects of the 525 basis points of Fed tightening in the pipeline hit the economy. In addition, the impaired bank assets now held at the Fed with the Bank Term Funding Program are slated to go back to the banks. If these distressed assets are indeed returned to the banks, which are further underwater now than they were when they were first posted to the Fed, these same banks will then owe the Fed full value of these bonds, treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, corporate bonds, plus interest. And then accept these distressed assets on their balance sheet, which are, again, much further underwater than they were when they first given to Mr. Powell. However, if Powell elects to allow banks to roll over these assets back to the Fed for another year, which is what I think he's going to have to do, that's probably what's going to happen, then he will be viewed as monetizing that debt, $100 billion of it. And that will have significant inflationary implications to a CPI that is already 2 times greater than the Fed's inflation target. And this is just going to put more upward pressure on bond yields. I mean, there is no real easy way out when everything is so artificial and manipulated. And that's not going to be good news for the stock market or the economy. Then we also have the fact that the government's massive COVID stimulus packages have finally dwindled to a trickle. For example, the employee retention credit gave small business owners a tax credit worth $28,000 per employee. This credit added $230 billion of stimulus to the economy. That is now gone, at least until January of next year, and most likely for good. This program is done. The ERC is dead and buried. The end of government stimulus programs will also coincide with a consumer's excess savings having been depleted. And finally, the corporate bond market must begin to refinance $1.8 trillion in debt at much higher interest rates. And that matures between 2024 and 2025, that $1.8 trillion. In other words, the resumption of the long-delayed recession should begin by Q4, or at the latest Q1 of next year. And it could last for several quarters. My guess is 3 or 4 quarters of a recession, which could be very brutal. And the recession should be global in nature. For the first time ever, the share of the world's AAA sovereign debt rating is now lower than the amount of junk-rated sovereign debt. There is now $5 trillion of AAA debt and $6.1 trillion globally of junk sovereign debt. U.S. bonds have lost value for investors for 3 years in a row for the first time in history. Please don't think things are normal. The collapse of the U.S. bond market will be like having the economy suffer a 10.0 magnitude earthquake. Treasury issuance has gone parabolic, and the buyers have become sellers. These supply-demand dynamics get much worse next year. Many permabulls claim that there is no leverage in the system. They love to say, well, the consumer is deleveraged, their expense coverage ratio is great, and businesses are flush with cash. I mean, this is completely untrue. Historically speaking, there is a record amount of corporate debt to GDP, and the consumer is only deleveraged on the margin, and they're paying much, as time goes by, much more higher interest rates, much higher interest rates on that debt. But even worse, they ignore completely government debt as if it's not an issue. I mean, the government has no money. It gets the money to pay for its bonds from the private sector. The presumption here is that the government debt is not a problem because the central bank is going to buy it all like they always do. However, the fact is the Fed cannot print money and fight inflation at the same time. And with inflation moving further away from the Fed's asinine 2% target, printing money to buy bonds is a non-starter right now. I cannot stress enough that the Fed's quantitative tightening program, which is selling treasuries now and destroying base money supply, is breaking the bond market already, despite the fact that the excess reserves are still in the banking system and parked at the reverse repo facility. In March, all those reserves are gone, and utter chaos looms for the U.S. bond market. In other words, you haven't seen anything yet. And what we've seen has been a 3-year brutal bear market, especially on long duration bonds, 20 years plus. So how do we invest? Income is crucial, but only on the short end of the yield curve. We have 75% of our portfolio right now, as of this recording, earning 5% plus in short duration treasuries. We will need to see the economic data deteriorate significantly, particularly the labor market, in order to offset the supply issuance of treasuries. If that happens, if that push globally for the safety of treasuries once the labor market cracks happens, that's when we'll start moving out along the yield curve. But the long end is not investable at this time. But once the, again, once the data begins to reflect the true underlying economic weakness, we'll begin to move out slightly along the yield curve. And unlike last year when we made no money in bonds, lost money in bonds, because they were yielding zero, or very close to zero, virtually zero, rates now have a lot of room to fall, meaning there is a much better chance of making a good deal of money on principal appreciation once the timing of the recession occurs. I'm here every day. I will move out along the yield curve and trade 5% bonds for 4.8% bonds, but get a massive amount of principal appreciation. For now, equities must be underweighted in your portfolio. I mean, we hold about 10% in some defensive sectors of the market. That's it. The dollar continues to surge and has been an essential long in our portfolio for the past 2 years. It'll be sold on the other side of this recession, but not now. It'll be sold and shorted on the other side of this recession. Again, people say all the time, some people say, short the dollar. It's going down. They are correct, but timing matters. Physical gold can be held in a small allocation due to the conflagration in the Middle East and the threat of U.S. sovereign debt default. But AU is better than oil because gold will rise during both wars and recessions, but oil will plunge during the latter. However, rising nominal and real rates should continue to put downward pressure on the miners. Our shorts are currently limited to one that's in high-yield junk bonds and the other is an anti-beta hedge. But our short allocations will increase alongside, not months beforehand, alongside the manifestation of the economic recession, which I am monitoring closely. Thank God I wasn't massively short the market in the first half of this year. I wouldn't have any clients left. That's how fickle clients can be. They have to look long term. Don't lose money in bear markets. Make money if you can, and make money in bull markets. That's what we have done in the past. Now, we did lose about 3.5% last year, including fees, but that's because the bond portion of the portfolio didn't work because yields were already at zero. So prices could only go down. They couldn't go up. That's not the case any longer. So let's keep our mind on the business cycle and the bear market, which will resume and probably already has resumed. Avoid getting crushed in 2024. Preserve your principal. Make money if you can, and then pick up the pieces on the other end of this economic and stock market debacle. That is the plan. My guess is on the other side of this market chaos, we will suffer stagflation like never before imagined in the United States. And if there's one thing we all should have learned over the past 2 years, is that the buy and hold 60-40 portfolio is dead.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.